Warning, things are about to get intense. Like when you stare into the eyes of someone that you really like for a full minute straight without blinking. Intense! Intense heat! Lasting plump! From the hot new Lifter Plump from Maybelline, New York. Formulated with chili pepper! Lifter Plump delivers a heated sensation for an instant lip plumping effect that lasts. Available in 8 sizzling shades. Honestly, my favorite is hot honey and cocoa zing. I put it on my lips and honestly, it did sizzle them. It sizzled them right to the moon. They were plump and juicy and everyone was like, Nicole, can I? And I'm like, get in line. Can you take the heat? Find your shade at Maybelline.com or a retailer near you. Amazon shoppers get 10% off Lifter Plump purchase with code 10PLUMP for a limited time.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Date Me, a podcast where me, Nicole Byer, tries to figure out how I'm still single, even though you could take me to Disney and push me out of a ride. I don't know the rides at Disney, but you could push me out of a ride at Disney and I would dust myself off and be like, hey, wait for me. Don't you love me? Okay, my guest today is a Chicago-based drag king. They were the winner of the Drag Queen of the Year pageant in 2021. It's Tenderoni!
Hi!
Hi. Thank you so much for doing this.
Oh my God, thank you for having me. I'm like so obsessed with this podcast.
Thank you for listening. I like doing it. Okay, Tenderoni, I have a question. I mean, it's probably a question you get asked often, but how did you come up with the name Tenderoni?
So Tenderoni was actually my graffiti name before my drag name.
Oh.
So back in the day, I was a little graffiti artist, and that was my artist name. And Tenderoni comes from two songs that are close to my heart, Bobby Brown Roni and Michael Jackson PYT. And a Roni, you know, Roni's just a young thing that like is fly and sexy and has a penchant for older women. And that is also me. So I'm a Tenderoni. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a blend of that. A lot of people think it's food related, but they just don't get the references.
I thought it might have been food related, but now I get the references. And you're into older women?
Oh, yeah.
What is it about an older woman?
I don't know. I just love to be bossed around. I love older women. It's like I'm a, a granny chaser.
A granny chaser.
No, I love, you know, I just love women who, like, they age like fine wine. I love people who are assertive. I don't know. I mean, you know, my number one is Michelle Visage. Don't tell her, but. But that's my like holy grail. I'm like, yes, diva.
Okay. I like that. I mean, why not go for an older person? Like, hopefully they have their shit together. They've lived a little. They've experienced things. And hopefully they know what they want.
Exactly.
So I'm into it. But also, I have never heard the term granny chaser, and I fully fucking love that.
I mean, my girlfriend that I'm with right now, she's 9 years older than me, so mm-hmm. She's already okay. Come. She likes the term, like I say it to her.
Good morning, your granny chaser's here with some coffee. I love it. That's so funny. How did you guys meet? How'd you meet your girlfriend?
So it was actually kind of a scandal. My girlfriend, we've been together for 12 years. So that's like,
damn, that's a long ass time.
Long, long, long time. She was actually my boss at a shoe store. We used to work at a shoe store in Boston. And we're not going to name the brand. I was a sales associate and she was my manager. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, I mean, I was working retail and like, when I work retail, like, you know, after shift ends, we all go out to a bar, like we go out drinking, like we were having fun and she was coming with us. And then we started going to the gay club. I'm like, okay, Diva, you want to go to the gay club with us? So we went to the gay club and things just kept happening. And then after a while, she wasn't my boss anymore. So...
Okay, she was a different kind of boss, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, she was a different kind of boss.
So, is it true what they say that women tend to move faster and they're like, I love you almost immediately? And then they like, what is the joke? It's like they bring a U-Haul after the first date or whatever. Yeah. Do you find that to be true?
Yes and no. I don't like it. It's weird. It's a weird trope. They're like, yeah, U-Haul lesbians, which is very, exactly what you're saying. You take a U-Haul to the second date. But I just feel like, I mean, for me, women just know what they want and they're direct. So
yeah.
So it's like, if this is what we want to do, this is what we're going to do. It's weird because it's less mind games than a man, but also more mind games because it's a woman. I don't know how to explain that, but if you know, you know it.
I feel like I understand that. It's like, maybe with a man, you don't understand the mind games because you're like, what the fuck? And then with a woman, it's like, I think I see what you're doing. And I raise you this.
Exactly. It's very much like, it's more intellectual type of mind game.
My podcast has a lot of gay men who listen to it, and I hope they saw that read. It was a fucking read. That was very funny.
Insert snake noise.
It's intellectual between women. Y'all dudes are fucking dumb. Did you, what a boring question, but like, have you always been out? Did you come out? Did you date men before? Tell me about how we got to Tenderoni of today.
Yeah, so, like, I did not come out until I was, like, 20 years old. So I was kind of a late bloomer, but my mom was always like, I knew you were gay since you were younger. I was just, like, I don't know. I guess I was a weirdo when I was younger. I was, like, a Michael Jackson impersonator.
You were younger, you were, like, a Michael Jackson impersonator?
Yeah.
This is delightful. So, like, as a child?
Yes, I was obsessed with Michael Jackson. Like, 14, I used to wear, like, a sparkly glove. I used to, like, I had an airbrush jacket with a Thriller on the back. And this is, like, 1984. This is, like, 2002. So I was very weird. I was, like, the Michael Jackson girl in my high school. I was, like, I would perform in the cafeteria at lunch, like doing Michael Jackson dancing.
Really?
I'm from Western Massachusetts, so my high school is very Black and Puerto Rican. That's like the demographic of my hometown. Uh-huh. So everyone loved it because they're like, no, Michael. I was like, Michael Jackson girl. But in my head, I was like, I have all these weird things about me. Like, I'm an artist. And I was like, in my heart, I knew I was gay, but I was like, I don't want to put another like thing on me.
Yeah, you're already Michael Jackson girl. You don't want to be the gay Michael Jackson girl.
But I was also like, I knew I was gay, but I was like, let me test the playing field. So I definitely had lots of boyfriends in high school too. Mm-hmm.
So I love this. That you're like, I'm weird. I was the Michael Jackson girl in high school. I would perform at lunch, give them a free show. But also, you were slaying dick. So, like, seems as such you were very popular in high school.
I had lots of boyfriends. I was like, why not try it out, test it out, you know, see what's going on. I did. I went to a trade school. So, you know, I was pulling trade.
I mean, that got me good. What was the trade? Yeah, what was the trade like at your school? No, I'm kidding. What trade school did you go to?
I went to Putnam Vocational Technical High School in Springfield, Massachusetts. It's a long name, but I went to that trade school and like basically half of the year was academics and then the other half is like whatever trade you chose.
What was the trade that you chose?
Graphic design, like a good gay. But back then it was called commercial art.
Commercial art. You know, graphic design really jazzed it up. Like, it just seems a little bit more professional or whatever. I feel like everybody should go to a trade school. We did academics, if you want to call it that, all year round, and I learned nothing. Yeah, I should have learned how to do anything that was good. Like, teach me how to do my fucking taxes. I don't understand the school system here.
But you know what? It did kind of bite me in the ass, because then as soon as I went to college, I was like, yes, I went to art school. I was like, oh, I love it. And then when I had to write my first paper, I was like, I don't know how to do this. I was like, I don't know how to write a paper.
I mean, I still don't know how to write a paper, and I'm certain that I wrote some. Like, citing your sources and like a, what is it, like a bibliography or whatever?
No. I was like, when do you ever need that? I don't know. I was just like...
Yeah, as an adult, nobody has ever asked for my bibliography.
It's so extra.
It truly is. Okay, so your mom knew you were gay, so that wasn't a surprise. So yeah, your mom is supportive that you're a drag king?
My family is 100% supportive. Like, my mom had me really young. She had me when she was 19. My dad was 21. And my mom came from super Catholic family, and my dad came from a Jehovah's Witness family. So basically they were like teenagers, like, fucking. they had me, and they're like, we're not putting any like religion on you or any rules on you. You can do whatever you want. So I got very lucky that my parents are very chill and laid back, because they had like these two extremes growing up, mm-hmm. that they're like, we're just going to let you thrive and do what you want.
That's honestly nice and very lucky. So
very, very lucky.
Tell me how you became a drag king. I feel like there's a ton of kings and they don't get the like exposure that drag queens get. And then you have a lot of like, you know, I guess they're called bio queens, which sounds insane to me. I think a lady drag queen is just a drag queen. But you see a lot of that, but you don't see a lot of drag kings. And yeah, I wonder why. So what pulled you to the masculine side of drag?
I don't know. I feel like when I was growing up, I was always obsessed with drag. I always tell my mom, like, the first person I was in love with was, like, John Leguizamo and Tu Wong Fu. Like, that was the first woman I ever fell in love with.
That's fucking funny.
And I'm like, that's when I knew. I was like, that's it. That's it for me. And then I was always, like, obsessed with Tu Wong Fu, you know, Birdcage, Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. And I was just like, I want to be in this. Like, I want to do this. But I was never exposed to a drag king. I was just like, this looks fun. I want to do it. But it's always like back then it was very black and white. Like, boy goes into girl. Like, there's not like it's a cast of characters, but drag queens were always this into that. And then growing up, I was just like, you know what? I mean, I'm going to go out. I'm going to have fun. And I did my little Michael Jackson dabbling. So I always had like my little performer inside of me. And it wasn't until I moved to Chicago almost 8 years ago now, and I was exposed to the drag scene here, where I was like, whoa, there's a whole other side of drag that I've never seen. There's club kids here, there's burlesque here, there is insane pageantry, like Miss Continental is hosted here. Like, there's such a rich history of drag that I was exposed to, like, right off the bat, that I was like, oh shit, like, there's so much stuff happening. So then when I came here, I saw my first ever drag king in person. His name is Dusty Balls. Shout out to Dusty Balls.
Ooh, that's a good name, Dusty Balls.
And when I saw that, I was like, wait. I was like, maybe I can do this. Because I was always on the sidelines, like, yes. Like, I was like, let me pick up the tips. Let me do this. Let me stage manage. But then as soon as I saw that, I was like, I want to try this. So I signed up for a local competition. I slapped a mustache on and the rest is history. That was 5 years ago.
I love, that's fun. It is fun because I feel like a lot of people are truly only, like, no shade to Drag Race. I think Drag Race has brought drag to the mainstream, to people who wouldn't normally be exposed to that. But it does create a kind of a binary. I don't know if I use that word there, but like, I feel like a lot of people think that's the only way to do drag, like expensive drag, always like very fishy drag, you know, always padded drag. And it's like, no, there's all different types. Like you said, like burlesque, drag kings, club kids, like Lee Bowery is one of my favorite.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can call him a drag queen or king, but like performance artists, like it's just, you know, so much weirder shit than you get to just see on TV.
Yeah. I also think like drag kings get judged a little harsh because people have like what 13, 14 almost seasons of Drag Race. Drag queens have that as a reference. We like drag kings don't have that. So it's like, oh, I want to do drag, but like where, like what are you looking up to? Like for me, I was lucky that I was like obsessed with pop culture and music, that I'm like, my heroes are like George Michael, Prince, like David Bowie, like Michael Jackson. So I was like, when I was creating my character, those were my influences that I applied. But young up and coming kids, I mean, unless they're being like indoctrinated from their parents about good pop culture taste, you know, they don't have a reference for it. So I do love Drag Race. Don't get me wrong. Like, I've been a Drag Race fan since season one. Mm-hmm. I like have been watching since 2009, and I respect drag, like the journey of Drag Race. And I also respect RuPaul. Like, kids are so like harsh these days. Mm-hmm. Like, RuPaul has like gone through it. Yeah. Like, this, like, RuPaul has set the stepping stones. And it's like, I like to think about it like as like my grandpa a little bit, where I'm just like, you know, he doesn't understand what it is, but he's just like moving forward. Mm-hmm. So it's like, RuPaul has put all of this energy forward to introduce drag to the mainstream. And I think changes are being made little by little. Like, there's a trans, like, there's so many trans women on this season. Mm-hmm. Got Mick was the first trans man. Like, the Drag Race UK has the first AFAB queen on the show. So I don't like to erase that, because those are definitely steps moving forward. I love that there's so many firsts happening on Drag Race. If they want to do a drag king, I'll be, I'm available. Tell them they can go watch my audition tape.
Put it out into the world. I would love to see it, because I think a lot of people think there is like no artistry in being a drag king, but like, you contour your face, you put on facial hair, and
I mean,
it's fine.
Drag queens is like, they're trying to make their face into a circle. I'm trying to make my circle into a square. And they think that I don't have to tuck. Like, you don't have to tuck my fupa. You know how much Spanx I have on? It's also hard because drag queens are so young now. Like, everybody in the scene is like in their early 20s. Like, I'm 33 and I'm just like trying to keep up with these young ass kids.
My God, 33, you dinosaur. No, I'm kidding. I'm either 34, 35, or 36. Who's to say? I refuse to learn.
I'm 25 with a couple years experience, baby.
I want to, like, I would, you know, do be a drag king or do, you know, masculine drag. But I feel like I look too much like Kenan Thompson. And it's like, not it. You know, like, I'm not saying Kenan Thompson doesn't look good, but I'm just like, anytime I've looked at myself where I look like a little boy, I'm like, yeah, definitely seeing a lot of Kenan.
I look just like my dad in drag.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. My mom's like, oh my God, you look like Bobby. Like, she always texts me all the time.
I love it. So are you a full-time, you're a full-time king?
Yeah, I do drag full-time.
Oh, I love that.
I host the show every other Saturday here in Chicago. I mean, I just love doing drag. I've been, ever since I won the pageant, I've been super fortunate to have like bookings in other cities, and especially like, because I won the pageant like right when like they were lifting a little bit of the bans for COVID. So like, it was kind of like it was a cool way to get back into doing drag with this title. I'm like, yes, Diva, drag queen of the year.
So winning that pageant did change like a little bit of your like career a little bit?
Oh yeah, definitely. I'm so grateful for that pageant and for Alaska and Lola for like just creating a platform for all different types of drag. But it's definitely, I mean, since that happened, I was like, I was in a New York Times article. I was one of the first drag kings to perform at Lollapalooza this year. They had a drag set.
Oh, that's exciting. Congratulations.
Thanks. So it's cool because there's a lot of firsts, but I think it's a kind of like a drag renaissance happening right now. Mm-hmm. Where people are being introduced to different types of drag, and it's a positive experience. I always say, if I'm someone's first exposure to a drag king, I think of it as like a job interview. I'm like, I need like every time he's a hit. I'm like, I don't know who's in the audience. I don't know who's gonna be like, I want that. So I try to.
I love that. So walk me through your aesthetic. It's like pretty poppy, colorful, big shoulder pads. It's a, yeah, Like, how did you arrive at that aesthetic?
I mean, I I feel like I beat it like too much, but it's like my aesthetic is 80s and 90s. Mm-hmm. I love 80s and 90s very much, like that like New Jack Swing aesthetic. I'm trying to look like, you know, like the scenery and like in living color, mm-hmm. in the background. Like that's
I mean,
I like that,
that is a perfect way to describe it. I'm trying to look at the scenery in a living color. Yeah, you did it. You're getting there. Yeah.
I try. I mean, I just... When I do drag, I just love to, I really play on nostalgia a lot. So like when I do drag, I'm like, when I perform, I want someone to be like, oh my God, last time I heard this song was at a house party. Like, this is so like fun. Like, I just want to make people have fun. And like, it's like very much like the Fat Man Scoop. It's like, oh, like I'm always trying to start the party. But I love to be colorful. I need big shoulder pads because it needs to offset my hips. So mm-hmm. it's like just big costumes and color. And I like to be graphic. So. I'm trying to wear more wigs.
Why? Why wear more wigs?
Because like, there's only so much like I can do with like my natural hair.
Fair. Fair.
I just need some different silhouettes. I need some different silhouettes.
I like male wigs. I think they're very fun. Mo Hart on UK versus the World wore this like fade afro that was like pretty high, and I was like
obsessed.
This is fun.
I was obsessed with Mo Hart on that episode, like that whole cameo reference. I was like, this is so good. The whole leather outfit, I was like, that's my drag, like I want that outfit.
it just looks so fucking good.
Yeah, I'm trying to get to that, but it's like it's hard to get a wig that has like a short side, mm-hmm. because of the lace. So I've been playing, I mean, I have a couple wigs going on right now, but I'm also like, I feel like I look like a bobblehead with a wig on.
I'm sure.
I have to get used to it.
I'm sure you look fine. Real quick, we have to take a break. One in five Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel, the science-based language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 150 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. Guess what? I love to travel. And honestly, traveling is better when you can speak the local language. So, ordering food, asking for directions, or just saying, me encanta Poppy, I think I said I love you, Daddy. Anyway, people just treat you better when you speak their language. Plus, it's nice not having to consult language apps while on vacation because I'm having fun in the sun. Here's a special limited time deal for listeners. Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for my listeners at babbel.com/date me. Get 55% off at babbel.com/date me. Spelled BABBEL.com/date me. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
And we're back. Okay, Tenderoni, let me ask you. Do you know what your love language is?
No. It's weird because I have a love language in and out of drag.
Oh, interesting. Well, I'm going to walk through them. Okay, there's words of affirmation, which is like you like to encourage, affirm, appreciate, and actively listen. There's physical touch, which is nonverbal use of body language to touch and show love. Receiving gifts, that's thoughtfulness, where you like, I don't know, give someone gifts or you receive gifts. Quality time, uninterrupted, focused conversations, one-on-one time is important. Boy, oh boy, would I love that, but I have ADHD, so like, oof, you want it unfocused and focused and uninterrupted, my friend. That's asking a lot. acts of service, letting them know that you are wanting to help to lighten their mood. So what do you think your, I guess, can you pick one? I don't know the rules of it.
I feel like mine are like, mine is definitely acts of service.
Mm-hmm.
Like I, like you said, I also like, I'm ADHD diva, so I cannot focus one-on-one time.
Yeah, that shit's fucking hard.
And the harsh reality is that's what my girlfriend wants from me.
Mm.
So I'm like, I'm trying. I am trying really hard. But how about I just make you breakfast, or how about I just clean the house? You know? Yeah. It's really hard for me to focus.
It's so fucking hard. Like, and sometimes I'll be having a conversation with someone and they're like, I, you know, Nicole, I really need you to focus on this. And then I'm like, focus on the thing that's happening outside. And I'm like, no, not that, this person. And it's so fucking annoying that my brain does that all the fucking time. I think she likes to fuck. So maybe physical touch. No, I'm kidding. But like, I do think physical. I think I like physical touch. I like touching people that I like. And then I guess acts of service. Like, I don't mind doing something for someone if I like them. But if I don't like you, like, please don't ask me to do a thing, okay?
I'm very much acts of service, but it's also, like, going back to the mind games things, mm-hmm. I'm always like, are they mad at me? I don't know if they are, but I'm just going to do this just in case if they're mad at me or not, you know? Like, I cleaned the whole house. I did all my laundry. I did all
That's
this.
So funny. And then the person coming home is like, what is going on? Why do, like, they do everything? Are we in a fight?
Sometimes it backfires. It's like an episode of Seinfeld. It's like, what? You can do a whole Seinfeld episode with something like that.
So, oh shit, I had a question right in my brain and then it just left. That's that beautiful ADHD for you, baby. Oh yeah. Did you ever date on apps?
No, I was fortunate enough to be
lucky.
I'm so lucky that I met my girlfriend 12 years ago before all of that mm-hmm. happened. So I've been lucky that I got to dodge that bullet, because I don't know how I would navigate dating on an app.
I do it, and I can't really explain to you how I do it, other than, like, I go through waves of, like, all right, Nicole, you put everything in it. You're not working right now. Just, like, do you date? And then there's times where I'm like, I'm working, I can't do it, or I'm not working and I actually can't do it. It, like, it's a whole full-time job where you just have to, like, talk to these fucking men and shit. Like, let me see if I can find some, I should have queued them up, but I didn't. Some of the interactions I've been having recently, they're all bad.
I get tons of screenshots from my girlfriend's sister, because she's currently doing that, and we're just clowning these guys. It's like, what is that?
I will say, like, sometimes they're not bad, but I'm like, I hate this. Do you know what I mean? Where I'm like, this is not it. So this nice person, this is a nice message that I got. He said, what a pleasure. Hey there. I'm so excited to match with you. How is a divine goddess like yourself enjoying this fine Saturday? That's a really nice thing to say to somebody, but I was like, no.
What the hell?
No.
Not divine goddess.
I was just like, you don't know me. Don't call me a goddess. I could be one of the worst people you've ever met in your whole life, and you thought I was a god? No.
In what world is that a good opener?
I don't know. Okay, so I'm not crazy. I've been trying to, like, be nicer and be kinder, which is, like, maybe killing me, but, like, I've just been trying to not be as hard on people as I've been. Okay, here's another one. Hey, beautiful. You're thick and yummy, huh?
Oh, my God. I mean, that goes to your touch love language.
It does, but then I'm just like, this man might be a cannibal. Is he trying to actually eat me? Is he happy that my fat is going to marble the meat and make me tastier like a ribeye?
Oh, my God. But that honestly, I think if I was dating on an app, I would be me, because my mind always goes to the worst scenario. I listen to too much true crime. Like, I watch too many documentaries. I'm like, we're gonna die. We're gonna get murdered.
I think it's so funny that men are like, why are they always listening to true crime stuff? I'm like, yeah, it's so when you try to murder us, we know how to, like, maybe not get murdered.
Exactly.
This nice person, very kind again. He said, I was wondering if you're an artist because you're so good at drawing me in.
Oh, hell no. Oh, hell no. That sounds like the person that's like, you know, when you're in high school and the person that's like, where's my hug at?
Yes. Yes.
That energy. That's the energy.
And you're like, no way. I left your hug fucking at home. Okay. Ugh.
Is it worse if you're like a public figure? Like, do people like.
Yes. I got a lot stacked against me. She's fat, which me personally, I don't mind. I like my body. I'm pretty body neutral. Some days it's great. Some days it's not great because I'm a human being. I think being body positive is literally insanity. That every day, every fucking day I gotta love it. That's work. Okay.
That's called gaslighting.
Yeah. You have to gaslight yourself happy. What are we all doing? Body positive is an insane thing. And people are always like, you're body positive. And I'm like, body fucking neutral. I just like it. And I'm not complaining about it. And I don't cry about it, you know. But sometimes I will put on an outfit and be like, yikes, everything's bad, even your head. So, like,
oh my God. That's me. I mean, honestly, there's another layer to that when you do drag, because I'll do drag and I'm like, ooh, yes. And then when I'm out of drag, I'm like, I look like a potato.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I don't do drag, but like when I do perform, I'm giving you a show. So, like, there's a wig, there's lashes, there's makeup, there's contouring, there's comfortable shoes because she's standing. But, you know, cute little outfit for you to look at. So, like, it is kind of like my drag. And mm-hmm. then when I wasn't performing during 2020, I was like, well, I guess I should put on makeup just to be in the house. And I was like, what? And then 2021, it was like, not getting better. So then I just, like, stopped kind of wearing makeup and got really comfortable with, like, my actual face. And I was like, oh, shit, that's interesting that, like, I was fine with my body. I'll wear, like, you know, a belly shirt or whatever. But I was, like, not okay with, like, my acne scars or, you know, the way my skin is uneven or I have little dots and stuff. But, like, I've really just, you know, started to embrace. Like, now I can wholeheartedly say that, like, I am fully body neutral. I love it most days, I would say. 90% of the time, she likes it. 10% of the time, she's like, huh, what if I lived in a cave? And put a rock in front of it and never rose. 3 days later, she don't come back. How about that?
But that's real. That is real. Sometimes you wake up. Okay, here's another thing about drag kings. It's like, have you ever tried to do drag on your period? Because that is not fun.
It's not so fun at all.
Doing drag full time, there's 1 week a month where I'm like, I look horrible. Uh-huh. I look bloated. I look disgusting. Uh-huh. I'm like crying, putting my mustache on in the mirror. Like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this.
Traveling with your fucking period sucks. Because then, like, you're like, oh, it's done. And then you're on the plane. You hit some fucking bumps in the sky, whatever the fuck that means. You know, you're flying and they're like, oh, turbulence. You're like, turbulence? What are the bumps? Why are we moving like this?
Exactly.
Also, what if we all stop believing? Will this plane crash? Ah! Maybe she's got anxiety now. But, fucking, like, landing, changing your fucking diva cup or your tampi, and you're just
oh,
is it done yet? A little squirts out. It's awful. It is the fucking worst.
And then if you're, like, performing in a club and you're like, let me scope out the bathroom, and it's, like, disgusting.
Oh, a gay club bathroom is maybe the last place I'd ever want to just be. Barracuda in New York City, one of my favorite fucking bars / clubs or whatever, has one of the filthiest fucking bathrooms. And last time I was, they have two bathrooms. One where you have a little fun and toot toot, and then one that you get to, like, use. And then the one that you toot toot in was, people are like, what's toot toot? Drugs. The one that you toot toot in was broken. So the normal one that you use was also being used for tooting. And And I say tooting because I'm talking about cocaine. So then that one was being used for both. And then it was like, well, how do I pee? If you're having a party in here, how do I pee? How does this? And also, it's like disgusting. You don't touch nothing. I do not envy you having to get dressed in like backstage rooms and these fucking bathrooms are nasty.
I know when the, so I did a gig recently with a bath that I had my period and I was like, okay, scoping out the bathroom. Cause you know, I was like, after I do this performance, like I'm doing kick splits, like jumping around. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I know that there might be you know, there might be an accident. So I'm like, where can I scope out where I can go after? I'm strapped up. I'm as like protected as I can be, but mistake, like, you know, accidents happen. And I go and the bathroom is a curtain, a room with a curtain. At this point, this is when I make the decision. I'm wearing black drop crotch pants. Uh-huh. And I'm going straight to the hotel after the show.
Ooh, wee.
So that's where my MC Hammer pants come in. I'm like, you can pee on yourself, you can poop on yourself. No one will ever know if you wear those pants.
People just be like, huh, they're swinging a little harder than normal, but whatever, exactly. I'm into it. Oh, to answer your question from before, being someone who people know, it is a little harder. But also, not really. I don't know. Sometimes I get messages where they're like, is it really you? And I'm like, well, if I was catfishing, I would go yes. And then since I am me, I'm going to say yes. So, like, really bad question. Just
you never
off the
know.
Top. But, yeah, like, I'll go on dates with people. And sometimes, like, up front, they'll be like, oh, I do know who you are. I've heard you on a couple podcasts. I'm a fan. Or, like, oh, my roommate, who's a girl, knows who you are. And she was so excited I was going to go out with you. Or I'm like, oh, I'm a comic. And they're like, oh, I've never heard of you one time in my life. And I'm like, okay, thank you. Thank you so much.
It's
so,
like, yeah. I don't want them to know who I am. But then I'm like, I kind of do.
Well, it is like kind of a weird thing that it's like, well, I mean, I've put out enough stuff in the world and you haven't seen any of it. I was talking to a man yesterday and he was like, I think you're so funny. Like, you're really funny. I was like, oh, thank you. And he was like, and I really liked your special despite what everybody was saying. And I was like, oh my God, why would you ever say that to another human being? And he's like, you know what everyone was saying. And I was like, I understand that there was a whole wonderful conversation started by Faizie on Love about how I didn't deserve a special and other black women did. And I was like, you didn't have to tell me that. Just the words, despite what everybody said.
What an asshole. I get that too. People be like, oh my God, usually I hate drag kings, but you are great.
And that's so shitty. It's like, when you give a backhanded compliment like that, you are, it's not even a compliment. You're like negating other people who do the same thing as me. And it's like, and for some reason you liked me, but like, maybe it's just because you put your biases away for 30 fucking seconds and learned how to enjoy something.
Exactly. Or like, oh my, or like, I'll be saying like bye to everyone at the end of the show. Like, it'll be like, you know, callbacks. And they're like, oh my God, you are my favorite in the show. Like, in front of everyone else. I'm like, okay, uh-huh. Thanks. But like, don't disrespect my coworkers.
Do that. That's like when people will ask like certain queens for a photo, or like, I've been in like, you know, talking to like a bunch of other comics and someone will pick one of us out to be like, can I have a picture with you? And it's like, okay, I get it. You don't want the picture with all of us, but like, just take one for the team and just get a picture with all of us. Like, don't make us feel like shit.
People don't have common decency anymore.
They really don't. And it's like a thing about, maybe it's like, it's common decency. It's like common sense. It's a whole bunch of stuff. So wait, when you were in Boston, were you weren't doing drag until you went to Chicago?
Yeah, no, I never did drag in Boston.
Oh, what part of Chicago? Like Boys Town? Is that where you perform mostly?
Well, yeah, but it's not called Boys Town anymore. Now it's called North Halsted, to be more inclusive.
Wait, really? When did that happen?
It happened over the pandemic. We had a town hall where like a lot of changes happened, where we had like problematic producers. There was just like a lot of white power in the scene, and the black queens created change. And an issue that they had was that it was called Boys Town, and it was very much catering towards men. Mm. So they I mean, the scene made a decision to change it to North Halsted. So now it's not Boys Town anymore. That's its dead name. Now it's North Halsted.
I didn't realize I dead named an area of Chicago.
How dare, canceled. I'm just kidding.
Goodbye, Nicole. Wait, it's North Halsted?
Yeah, because that's the name of the street, the strip where all the clubs are.
That's so wild to me. My whole family lives in Chicago, so like this is shocking.
I mean, it's a lot of positive change. I mean, when you think about it on paper, it's like a little bit like, what? But then like, it's a lot of positive change that's happening. You know, the drag scene here it's kind of like having like a reboot and a renaissance, mm-hmm. and it's just a lot better now. It's just like more evenly distributed, the shows. There's a lot more Black producers, a lot more mm-hmm. Black shows. It's like a lot of different types of drag being showcased now.
Yeah, that makes me excited. I think I talked to Lucy Stuhl about some of it.
Yeah, Lucy is like, she was one of the like people who spearheaded the movement, and she is just like a force in the scene. She's amazing.
I just love that, you know, mm-hmm. kings and queens took it upon themselves to be like, wait a minute, what the fuck? Like, we got to make this a little bit more even. We got to have, you know, Black and brown people, you know, producing, because producers are the ones who book shit. If you're booking people who look like you, then like, how are you getting an inclusive show? So like, yeah, I really like that, you know, the Chicago Queens and Kings were like, this, we're doing it differently.
Yeah, it was definitely like a big change, but it was a change that needed to happen.
Real quick, we have to take a break.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places. Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at the coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. With over 350 million global monthly visitors, Indeed's matching engine helps you find quality candidates fast. You get to ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. It's not just about hiring faster, though. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Don't search. Match with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I just want to get back to dating. So... Do you consider yourself like a flirt? I know you've been in a relationship for 9 years, which is almost a decade. It's a very long time.
12.
Fuck, 12 years. Oh, wait, I thought you were dating for 9 years, but known each other for 12.
She's 9 years older than me.
Oh, you can't be telling me numbers.
I went to art school. Don't be telling me numbers either. I went to trade school and art school. It's a double homicide.
Truly, we are two people here who have no sort of academia between us. Okay, you've been in a relationship for fucking 12 years. That is over a decade? A decade's 10 years?
Yeah.
Okay, so a dozen years.
I don't know why I can't just say 12.
There you go,
a dozen years you've been in a relationship. How do you like keep it fresh? Because like when I get into a relationship, I'm trying to figure out how to like keep it fresh, even though I am not looking at the present moment because she's exhausted. But like, how do I keep it fresh after 12 years?
You know, honestly, it's hard. I'm gonna be honest. You know, after 12 years, it's like and then especially with the pandemic, we're with each other 24 hours a day. We both work from home. Mm. We're always like, we're also both in the drag scene. So she also works in the drag scene. Mm-hmm. And so,
Is she a king too?
No, she actually works for Naomi Smalls. She's Naomi Smalls' assistant.
Oh, then I've communicated with her.
Exactly. Yeah, I think
funny.
But I mean, she does a lot of things behind the scenes. She does all my rhinestoning for my costumes. She's like she's the backbone of this, this situation operation. Going okay. on. Exactly. So she's like, you know what? She's the HBIC in this house. So it is hard because like we've been together for so long to like keep it fresh. We always try to like, you know, when we go out, we try to dress up. We're like, let's mm-hmm. do something fun tonight. You know, we're like, let's go dress up. Like, you know, like back in the day when we were like trying to impress each other, mm-hmm. we'll always try to look our best. You know, I don't know. It's like, we're definitely going back and forth. We definitely have like tried to introduce some new things too, where we're just like, let's not be an asshole to each other, or let's go out for a nice dinner. Or you know what? Honestly, sometimes we're like, let's go somewhere that's not gay, because we're always somewhere that's gay all the time. And it's tiring after a while. It's like seeing the same gay guys over and over. It's like, okay, hi diva, you know. We're like, let's go out to a straight place where we're like surrounded by different people. It's like taking yourself out of the area where you're always at and going doing something different.
That's really funny, because I feel like some straight couples are like, oh my god, like, what if we went, or like, you know, like girlfriends are like, what if we like go to a gay bar? Like, how crazy would that be? Oh my God, look at these gay people. And you guys are like, what if we hung out with straight people? Like, what are they talking about? Boats and LL Bean? Like, that's funny
but
to me.
But what's funny though is that we are very like detached when we're out. So we're not one of those couples who's like up each other's ass. So like if I'm out, like she can go function and I can go function. We don't have to be like, where are you? Like, what are you doing? Like, you know, there's some couples who are attached to the hip.
Yes.
Like, we're our own people. So, I mean, to answer your question, I am a flirt. I have lots of boyfriends when I'm in drag. I love flirting. I mean, it's like, it's never... I mean, I'm in a monogamous, serious relationship. There's mm-hmm. people who have open relationships. Ours is not open. Let's face it, we're two Latin women. We can never have an open relationship. We are very jealous, but, you know, both of us are flirty. We just like, and it's funny because it's with men.
mm-hmm. Men that you are not interested in. So
I'm
like,
just like, ooh, I can appreciate a good looking man.
I am not a flirt. I'm like, I can't explain to you what goes through my mind when I think someone's flirting with me. I'm like, what's happening? And then I start flirting, I'm like, it's just too aggressive. It's like, you want to fuck? And it's like, what, girl? What are you doing? Stop it. And the older I get, the less cute "do you want to fuck" is. So like, how should I go about flirting?
I don't know. I mean, I have no game. So my girlfriend
just said you were a good flirt.
You know, I'm a good flirt in drag. So when I'm not in drag, I'm a doofus. So it's very much what I suggest. I think use your humor. I think that so having a sense of humor is very attractive. And I think a lot of people think that too.
Women.
Maybe not just say let's
women
fuck.
Think that. Men go, oh, this is a competition of the funnies.
Oh my
and
God.
And I'm going to win. I'm funnier than you. Ha. And I'm like,
I never thought of
no.
that dynamic.
Yeah, it's really
opening
fun.
Opening new doors. Oh my God.
It's really fun. Dating men is fun. I mean, truly, I'm out there for whoever I, you know, find to be attractive to me, and whoever I fall in love with, I'm like, I truly don't care, man, woman, whatever. I just lean towards men a lot. And boy, oh boy, are they, how you say, a difficult. They are so fucking difficult to deal with.
You know what? I get hit on a lot by straight men in drag, so maybe you should just put a mustache and try.
Wait, you get hit on a lot by straight men when you're in drag?
Oh my God, yes. I feel like they think of it like forbidden fruit or something, because they're always like, I mean, when I'm in drag, I'm doing boy drag, but like, I'm not going for like male impersonation. Like, I'm not trying to like, oh my God, that's a man. Like, I'm a character. Mm-hmm. So like, people know that I'm not like a dude. They know I'm a girl dressing mm-hmm. up. So I get hit on all the time by straight dudes, and I'm just like, what?
Interesting.
Try drag.
You know, I kind of like that.
I would love to put you in Drag King drag.
I just sneezed. I got so excited.
Bless you.
I would love to be put in Drag King drag. I think it would be very fun. I mean, I do think I would look a little bit like Keenan Thompson. Again, nothing wrong with that. But like,
nah, we gotta swag you out. We gotta swag you out. Keenan don't have that much swag.
I mean, I guess I've never, because when I fly, I usually don't have a wig on, so I got my little fro. I don't wear makeup, and I wear like a sports bra, and I ain't got no titties. They are fucking A cups, baby. So I get called Sarah a lot on planes. So when I travel, I feel like I'm like, yes, she's the least glamorous drag king on Delta, diva. But I think it would be really fun to like do like a glammy man look.
Definitely.
I think a little rhinestone mustache.
Hell yeah. A little mustache. I mean, we could do a little beard, like, you know.
Oh my God, me with a beard? I can't even handle it. That's so
I used to only
cute.
Do goatees, but then I started doing beards because I'm like, beard is giving like grown ass man.
I love it. And it tenderoni's growing up, baby. And it connects. What a drag.
And it connects.
That's so funny. And this bitch connects. Okay.
Oh my God. Guys will try to drag me on Twitter all the time. Straight men are like, what is that? And I'm like, don't be mad because your beard can't connect. Mine does.
Oh God, that's funny. Wait, why did you move to Chicago? Did you move for, you were just like done with Boston, or did you move for?
No, I was a retail diva in Boston, and I used to work in a shoe store as like a stock manager, you know, very lesbian, back of the house stock room. Mm-hmm. And my shoe store relocated me to the Chicago location because they're like, can you fix the stock room there? So they relocated me to Chicago. My girlfriend came with me, and then the rest is history.
That's nice. I used to be a retail diva, as you say. I really wanted to work at Old Navy. In hindsight, it's like, wow, okay. But, I mean, nothing wrong with Old Navy. But, like, I don't know. I, like, really wanted to work there.
That was probably, like, the worst place to work.
Yeah.
Honestly, clothing is annoying because you have to fold. I used to work in shoes. Mm-hmm. So I love working in shoes because it's, like, you know, just boxes.
It's
and
easy. You give them a box, you take the box away. With clothing, they're like, this was small. They made it small. And you're like, no, bitch, you got bigger, which there's nothing wrong with it. We just need to be accepting the sizes that we are. Also, you know, vanity sizing is a terrible thing and it's confusing.
Uh-huh. Oh, my God. But with shoes, people try to return it after they wore it outside. I'm like, no, you wore this outside.
People would try to return all sorts of stuff. They would be like, this smells like you just took it off, ma'am. I worked at Lane
that
Bryant.
That could be a podcast. Oh, Lane Bryant, diva?
Yeah, Lane Bryant. Not fun. Yeah, I liked all the people I worked with, but the customers were really awful, and then I hated my manager. She looked like Shrek, and I say that in the kindest way possible because she looked like Shrek, and it was delight. Like, I loved staring at her because I was like, how? I was like, did DreamWorks, like, find you and animate Shrek, like, in your image? But she was mean to me. She'd always be like, Nicole, you know, that's off season. You can't be wearing that. Or she'd be like, Nicole, that's too tight. And I was like, too tight?
Oh,
hell no. This is a fucking plus size store. This is a store for fat women. Like, too tight. If anything, I should be empowering women to wear more, like, spandex and things that show off their bodies if they want to. Yeah, it was wild growing up because, like, Lane Bryant was one of the only plus-size stores, and it was very much like workwear. And it's like, all right, let me get my business suit for sixth grade. Okay, yum, yum, yum.
That's, like, the suits that I would wear for my, like, semi-form. I was like, I'm not wearing a dress. I'm wearing a suit. And it was, like, a Lane Bryant women's cut.
I love that you wear suits to school and stuff. I feel like you are pretty unapologetically yourself. And what an awful question, because I do not like when I get it, when people are like, how do you have confidence? And I'm like, oh my God, because I like myself. But like, from a young age, you seem to have been like, oh, I do what I do. Who fucking cares? Have you always been like that? Or is that something you had to like find, discover, search for?
Honestly, I've always been like that, but it's honestly like, a lot of it is the support of my family. I just grew up around people who were always just like encouraging me to do what I wanted and never judging me. Mm-hmm. So that is what helped me with my confidence a bit. And then like being an adult and like going through the whole coming out process and like all of that stuff, I feel like I don't know. I feel like that's just my default kind of to be confident. But then, like, don't tell my therapist that because he's going to be like, you're a liar.
you're lying. I don't know a confident person. Are they coming next session?
He's like, okay, you thought. He's like, I heard your podcast. No, honestly, it's something that I work on, especially doing drag, because sometimes you fall into to a place where you're like, I only like myself in drag. And I had to work on myself, you know, very. I have to like me out of drag too. And I'm still working on that. But it's a work in progress. It's a work in progress.
It is interesting, though, because drag and any really sort of performance where you like are yourself, but also bringing elements of like fantasy and like what you wish you could, you know, be all the time. It's interesting because I feel like sometimes it like fucks with you where you're like, oh, this persona I have created is better than who I actually am. And then you forget, oh, who I actually am created the persona. So if anything, I'm better than the persona because I'm me and I'm more than the persona because I'm also me. So like that to me is like really interesting.
Yeah, it's very complex. And then it also like goes into like gender and like all that stuff. And I'm just like, I'm just trying to live. I'm just trying to be a diva in my day-to-day life.
Yeah, and that is an interesting aspect of drag because a lot of it is gender exploration, you know, mixing it up, fucking with like gender norms and whatnot. And then some of it is just like, oh, I just want to have a nice time.
Exactly. Everyone's like, what are you pronouns? I'm like, yeah, I'm just a girl. Sorry. Like, out of drag, I'm she. In drag, I'm he.
Yeah.
But you know what? I am not that serious about it. If someone misgenders me by mistake, I'm just like, as long as it's coming from a point of respect, I'm like, it's cool.
I feel the same way. I feel like I'm I don't know, like an asshole because I'm like, I don't care what you call me, but I know it's so important to some people.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Where I feel like such an asshole for being like, I don't care, he, she, they, whatever. And then like, it does matter to some people. So then I'm like, should it matter to me? I don't know. It's we're living in a time where we're all trying to just be sensitive and, you know, fuck it up, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, hard.
Okay.
It's hard to be sensitive when you're so horny. Me, I'm always horny. I really am. It's sometimes I think it's a problem. Other times I'm like, I guess that's who I am forever.
We need to get you to Chicago because Chicago is a horny, horny city, and you will definitely get laid here.
Thank you. Maybe welcome to Chicago. What advice do you have for me in terms of going out into the world and hitting on people? And you said you're not great at flirting, but like, I don't know, like what kind of thing should I be saying to hit on people?
I don't know. I don't know necessarily if you want to go in with hitting on people. Maybe it's like start a conversation and let it evolve into that. You know what I start with? I'm like, what do you like to watch on TV? Because I love to talk to people about TV or like pop culture. And then once you kind of find like a common ground, then so you can be like, you know, flirt it up a little bit, being like, oh my God, I love this character. That like, they remind me of you. Or like, you know, like I always have a crutch. That's like my security blanket, is like something that is, you know, you can both have a common ground on, where you're like, I'm just talking to somebody who they know what's up. You're not just like coming from nothing, you know?
Okay. So what's your favorite TV show?
Yeah.
I'm asking you.
Oh, my favorite TV show is Law and Order SVU.
I'm practicing. Your favorite TV show is Law and Order SVU. Yikes. Okay. Ooh, what is it about it? Is it all the crimes against women that you like?
Oh my God, canceled. No, it's my queen, Olivia Benson.
Yes, Mariska Hargitay.
Ooh, my woman.
And then Stabler. Oh, baby. He's so hot. Fucking fine. Ooh, he's got that butt.
Have you seen him in the new?
No, he left and he came back, right?
Yeah, and now he's so hot in the new one. It's called Organized Crime. He has his own show now.
He has his own show? He left Olivia Benson alone?
It's very complicated, the storyline. He came back and then, like, I mean, I don't want to spoil it for you, but, like, he came back and, like,
okay,
something
if you don't want
happened.
Spoilers, don't listen. Skip ahead, like, 10 seconds. Okay, spoil it for me. I'll never watch it.
He comes back and his wife gets killed in a car bomb.
No, so a car then, bomb.
So then he can finally confess his love to Olivia that, like,
oh my
they were
God,
in love the
they
whole time.
Killed a woman so he could be free of her chains so he could profess his love for Olivia Benson. Okay. So do they get together?
No, the spinoff is just him trying to find the killer, but then also trying to tell her that he loves her. So it's like they're really dragging
so
it.
So she's on the spinoff?
Yeah, they do crossover episodes all the time.
Oh, I mean, I love how deep in the fucking SVU Law and Order universe you are. How funny. No.
Anytime you go to like a hotel, I'm like, go to USA. It's going to be an SVU marathon. Anytime I travel, I'm like, find USA. I'm going to watch SVU while I'm painting, while I'm getting ready.
I mean, I love it. Well, Tenderoni, we've come to the end of this episode. Is there anything that you want to promote?
Yes, you can follow me on Instagram, Tenderoni88. That is the year I was born, but also the minimum rhinestones I have on me at all times.
Wait, really?
No. I mean, it is the year I was born, and I always wear a lot of rhinestones, but that's just my tagline.
I just like, you know, one, two, okay, all the way up to like 87, 88. Now I can go on stage.
Exactly. No, you can follow me at Tenderoni88, and then you can also catch me in Chicago. I co-host the Saturday Night Drag Show every other Saturday at Berlin, and it's just a variety drag show. It's a fun time. We got to get you. I'm going to book you to co-host it with me.
Yes, I would love to come to Chicago. I owe a visit to my family.
We would love to have you. We'll bring you out. We have a good time. We'll get you laid. We'll get you a man.
Honestly, that's a lot of promises. And the people will follow up because they're always, I think Miss Pat, she was going to set me up. Spoiler, guys, never happened. Bob and I were supposed to go on a date. We did go to brunch a couple weeks ago, but it was not a date. There was other people there. Who else was I supposed to go out with? I cannot remember. But if you have a question, you're like, did she do it? She did not. It's dry as a bone here. Ooh. Okay, well, thank you so much for being here. If you like this episode of Oh, Why Won't You Date Me, you can like it, you can rate it, you can subscribe on Apple Podcasts or like Spotify, don't really know. And if you email whywon'tyoudatemepodcast@gmail.com, you can send comments, crazy dating stories I haven't read in a while, advice for me, I haven't read that in a while, but I will always read a dirty message / review of the show. Okay, Nicole, I want to give you roadhead until your eyes cross and we veer off the road moments before a crash. As you're screaming and coming, you engage, then snap off the emergency brake. I snap it off. The car comes safely to a stop. You faint and drop the emergency brake, which I grab and run away with as my sexy souvenir. You wake up and say with a mixture of shock and confusion, "Bring back my brake." That's funny. That's a nod to when I co-hosted Drag Her with my friend Mono Agapian, and I always say "Bring back my break," even though that didn't make any sense after we went on a break. Thank you so much. That was really wonderful, Tenderoni. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. I had a blast.
Yay! So yeah, make sure you follow Tenderoni. I think she's so talented. Also like so conceptual and like visually fun, and there's videos and shit on your Instagram, right?
Yeah that the copyright didn't take down.
Well, watch that shit before it gets taken down, because I think you're so much fun.
Thank you so much, Nicole.
You're welcome. Bye bye. That's it for Why Won't You Date Me with me, Nicole Byer. Why Won't You Date Me is produced and engineered by, the sweetest woman I know, Marissa Melnick. It is executive produced by other wonderful people, Adam Sachs, Joanna Solo-Taroff, and Jeff Ross. Thanks for listening. I love you. Thank you so much. We'll be seeing you next Friday with a brand new episode. What a treat. What a dream.
has been a Team Coco production.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Do you like to break the rules? Are you curious about gift-giving etiquette? If so, I implore you to check out a very funny podcast called I Said No Gifts on the Exactly Right Network. Every Thursday, host Bridger Weinegar invites his favorite people in comedy into his backyard to chat. He just has one rule: no gifts. Unfortunately, everyone has ignored this simple request. They all bring gifts and force Bridger to talk about it. In addition to yours truly, past visitors include Bowen Yang, Darcy Carden, Mitra Johari, and Weird Al Yankovic. Each episode includes a fun game, and Bridger offers perfect gift-giving advice to clueless listeners. In case you were wondering, I brought him cough drops, and it was a treat and a dream. Don't miss new episodes every Thursday. Follow I Said No Gifts wherever you get your podcasts.